What up? It's your boy Nito the Kid, and I'm here with my sis Kathleen Natalia, and we are loud in the theaters, coming to you live with everything you want to hear for science, sci-fi, and horror. Today we're gonna be covering something new, and it's something popular, and it's something popping, and it's black. Oh God, is it black?
It's more than black. It's African.
How's everything going over there on that side on the West Coast?
I guess it's fine. I wouldn't know. I don't go outside, so I couldn't really tell you what's happening. I don't know. As far as I know, it's fine within the walls that I exist. I don't know about much happening outside. That's it. Ooh, big noise.
What's up?
I haven't used it yet, and I'm really excited. A projector that projects the solar system onto your ceiling, and it plays music, and the stars move to the beat of the music. I cannot wait to hook that shit up. I am so excited. I am so excited about that shit. It's ridiculous. But
that's fire. And it's funny, because I just went and got a set of the LED lights. Mm-hmm. LED lights, and now that I'm hearing that you got, you know, the solar system on your ceiling, my LED lights just sound like...
Nah, I wanted the LED lights, but then I was like, I have a lot of colorful shit in my, and I already live in a studio apartment. It's like, at some point, it's too much. Right. Like, it's just like, come on, too much. But I was like, this solar system shit, I could put that on at night, and I could go to sleep with that, and it has a timer on, so it could go off after a certain amount of time. I can't wait to set this shit up. I cannot fucking wait. I'm so excited. That's all I got to do with big noise. I think I got more, but I can't remember what else. Something else is happening.
It's a lot of things happening right now. I think if I was to give big noise right now, it'd be all the gluttony that I've been I've been just enjoying life right now. I can't even front. I've been enjoying things.
Enjoying things like what?
I went out and got me a nice little TV.
So you coined up is what you're saying.
I'm not coined up. I'm all right. I'm okay. I'm okay. You know, so okay. I took advantage of, you know, Black Friday, and out here they've been doing Black Friday all month. So
they're doing that here too. Everywhere does that. That's been the thing for years now. Okay. Black Friday comes early because they just want to get them coins as fast as possible.
So pretty much that's my life. I've just been having fun.
Just good for you. Good for you. We're here for a good time, not a long time.
Right.
Enjoy yourself. Shit. Right. I don't really have, I feel like I had more, but I can't remember what the fuck else. There's so much that has made me miserable lately that I don't have a lot that's making me feel really happy. And the stuff that makes me happy is super small and insignificant. Like, it's just small as shit. Like, I was happy the other day because I drank mad water, and I was like, oh shit, I drank mad water. Okay. Water, drink ass, bitch. That's me.
For a lot of people. There's people out there who've never drank water like fully for a day, like ever.
Oh no, I drink water every day. I never go a day without some water. That's not even possible for me. That's
definitely a good thing. I could say this is probably my biggest noise. So my little man, Elijah, you know, he has the thirst for the bread. He's constantly on the paper chase. He just can't wait to get his hands on his next little stack or his next little venture to help earn himself some money. So
he looked like old scheming ass little motherfucker. What he be doing?
Well, he ain't that kind of, you know what I'm saying? He ain't going for it that route, because
y'all could see Elijah, he just have a look like he be rubbing his chin like, so listen, I got this little pen, you know what I'm saying? It's gonna be like that.
That part is definitely
him. I know my fucking nephew. I know exactly what he be doing.
There's no doubt about that. But on retrospect, everything he's doing is like legal. It's never nothing.
Oh, I don't think he's doing nothing like that. I just think he always plotting and scheming. He always got something on the horizon.
To beyond belief, to the point where his schemes could collapse on each other. So that's and right now, you know, he just scored his second job, you know, on his own, no help, you know. So he's and I'm proud of that. I like seeing him, you know, set out with a goal or to be, you know what I'm saying, to to want to do something more than just, you know, smoke weed, chill with chicks and shit like that, you know. Mm-hmm. So, you know, to see him occupy his time and put it towards, you know, a use that's going to help him in the future, I think that's dope. So that's my big noise. And I really look up on him for, you know,
that going could be out. My big noise as well. Oh, I remember the other thing. I paid off one of my many student loans.
Wow.
Just one, wow. Though. There's like 14 more. Good maybe God. 20. But that's okay. I am well over 100K in debt.
Wow.
No, probably like right at 100K. But I paid off one. The one private loan I had that was $4,000. I've been paying that shit off since 2004.
Goddamn.
Mm-hmm.
Goddamn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Shit.
And that's why the rest will never get paid. I'm going to defer that shit to the death of me. Anyway, let's move on.
Yes, I do. Let's go.
Oh, you, unless you got more.
I got big noise.
Celebration.
Yeah, man. Like I said, I was just enjoying life. So.
Good for you. Shopping really brings the mood up, don't it?
Huh?
Shopping really brings the mood up, don't it?
Doesn't it ever, yo? It just.
I love a good shopping spree.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Makes you feel a whole different way after you get home.
I agree. Don't forget to buy Christmas gifts.
Definitely ain't forget that. That's right there on the list. Like, everything is coming together. It's all coming together.
All right, well, quick question.
Let's go.
What is your favorite horror movie murder weapon? Did I ask this already?
No, you actually haven't. My favorite horror movie murder weapon. Jesus. Wait, does it have to be an actual weapon yielded, or can it be like
whatever item? Put it this way: murder weapon / method of killing.
My favorite.
Yes.
I would have to go with, oh God, there's so many. I got three. Can I give you three?
Give as many as you got. Come on.
Okay. I'm gonna start with the probably not the worst, but probably one of my least favorites. The two girls in Final Destination in the tanning salon, where they got burnt to death in the tanning salon in Final Destination.
Which Final Destination was this? I only saw, I think, the two.
Part two. I think they were. This was part two.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, this one was, that was great. They went into the tanning salon, they turned on some music, it was just, what's that song?
The Six Flags.
Not the Six, it almost sounds like the Six Flags song. But what is that song? Roller Coaster of Love. Roller Coaster.
Why are we listening to that song?
And they were in the tanning booth. And the next thing you know, one of the shelves collapsed. So you know how death works in Final Destination.
Yeah, so, it's always some freak accident.
Yeah, it's always just a series of events. And literally it gets started by condensation off of a cup.
Mm-hmm.
And that just sends everything into whack. And somehow, some way, water gets into the electrical system and turns up the tanning booths beyond belief. And one of the shelves in the room somehow managed to fall and latch between both tanning booths that the two girls are in. So they can't get out. And as the temperature's rising and the glass inside of it is getting hotter and hotter, it's breaking and it's shooting fire on them. Crazy.
That sounds horrible.
Yes, but one of my favorites. One of my favorites. I gotta say my number two, and this probably should be my number one, will be my man Jason Voorhees. When he walked up, I can't remember which Friday the 13th this was. But he walked up on old girl. She was in her sleeping bag. When she seen him, he picked the whole sleeping bag
up. He slammed it against the tree. This was gonna be mine. Yes. Yo, damn it.
That right there shut her right up in her sleeping bag. And she was kicking and screaming. She was not gonna make it off easy. And he slammed her against that tree.
I'm so mad. That was going to be my... I love that scene. I don't know why. I love that shit.
And I could say my last one, I'm going to probably go this one's probably not all that bad, but it was actually, when I first seen it, I was real young, so this was actually pretty dope for me. And I would say the first Child's Play, when Aunt Maggie noticed that Chucky was real and he hit her in the eye with a hammer and she fell right out the window. She was actually maybe the third death in the movie.
Funny, I don't fully remember that scene, but I can picture Chucky doing the, because he always made this loud ass grunt before he killed somebody, just being like,
in the first one, he wasn't really into the grunt. That came after he really revealed himself, because the way they showed it, they didn't actually show him swinging the hammer. All they saw was her notice him, and her face was like, the shock just came over her face, like, this doll is standing here on the counter. And all you saw was the hammer just come, bang, right in her eye, and she falls right out the window.
That's a horrible way to die. You don't have a chance to even process what the fuck is happening.
So those are, I think those are my three faves right there. Those are my three most memorable.
Really, niggas is vacuuming right now? The fuck? Like, what the fuck? Really? Anyway.
You're so dead.
Can you hear it?
A little bit. Very little.
Oh my God. I cannot stand people sometimes. Why are you vacuuming at 6 p.m.? For what? All day you've been in this house. What you been doing? Nothing?
Nah, not at all.
Soon as we done, I'm vacuuming. Soon as we done. Anyway, because you know I can be petty to the P-E to the T-T-Y. Petty. Okay?
I know. Soon as we done.
Anyway, you already took one of my favorites, which is going to be fucking Jason slamming that girl in that dead sleeping bag up against the tree. That shit is fantastic.
No, you can't go wrong with that.
Right? It's such a good scene. Of all the slasher movies, that is probably one of my favorite murder scene.
Yes.
And probably my favorite weapon, because it was just his hands. He just picked his zip top and slam.
She thought was going to protect her from Jason.
Because it's that thing when you're scared, you do dumb shit.
Exactly. She made the conscious decision to ball up inside of the sleeping bag. And he was like, oh, you just made it easy. You just put yourself in a bag for me. You just bagged yourself up. Thank you. He did. When she started kicking and screaming and making it hard to get the bag over his shoulder. All right. I see how this is going to go. Let me just break this ice up real quick. Crash up against.
That's exactly what he did when you're breaking up ice in the bag. That's exactly what he did. Yo.
All movement ceased.
Very true. Very true. Damn, that's a good scene. But the other one I would say, and I guess this is from the slasher movie category too, from Sleepaway Camp, old dude, well, I don't even know what to say, old dude or old girl. Old girl, I'm going to say, because in the movie we thought that she was a girl.
Right.
Old girl took the curling iron and shoved it up that chick's cooch and burned her from the inside out. When I tell you, to this day, that scene has me like, oh no, Jesus. And it wasn't even like nothing sexual. It wasn't even like, I'm gonna try to rape you. It was just like, you know what? This is what I know is gonna hurt you in the worst way possible. And that's it. That scene. And I'm trying to think of a murder weapon that I really like a specific weapon. I think nothing gets more iconic than Freddy's knife fingers.
Yeah.
Nothing beats that. Yeah. And
the kitchen knife done to death.
Yeah, the kitchen knife has been done.
You know, even Chucky went through the knife, got the knife
finger. Yeah. I think the only other thing that's as overdone as the knife is the chainsaw. To death.
You know who we did it? You know whose weapon we ain't bring up? My boy Candyman with the hook.
I didn't want to discuss him. You know how I feel about talking about him. No, how I feel about that. No, I did not want to even bring him up. And I think we should move on now. That's enough of this part of the conversation.
hold on, because we can't leave out specialists like Saw. They had some very inventive,
you know, what that's different. Yeah, because that's the method of killing. I don't think Saw had anything that really, really shocked me. Had me like, oh my God, that was amazing. I think if I'm thinking of that genre of horror where it's like every victim.
Reverse bear trap, just hearing the ticket and knowing that what's about to happen to you is your face and jaw is about to become two different things.
But it didn't happen. She got out.
It happened to one person. Well, actually, yeah, it happened to one person. The only other person that it could have happened to, it was in like part 4 or 5.
I stopped watching about it. I've only seen like the first 2, maybe 3. But in that genre of horror, of like every victim has a different method of dying or whatever, my favorite from that genre is The Collector. I feel like those methods. Have you seen The Collector?
I've seen The Collector, but I'm trying to.
Yeah, well, his whole house was like this maze. And whoever went in there was no guarantee, probably not going to come out. And every room had a different way, damn near, to kill somebody. And people would come in and they wouldn't come out. And I think the premise of the movie was like a burglar went inside his house. And it was like the whole movie was the burglar like, yo, I done fucked up. I came to the wrong house. How do I get the fuck out of here? Because there was booby traps everywhere. And so, yeah, that movie.
Another one now. I just thought about it. And this is an old one. Those little orbs from Phantasm. They used to float through the air. And the only time that they was at rest was when the blades that would come out of the orbs were in flesh. And the orbs could change shape as it came along. It could turn into a what do you call that? Like a screw, and it could just drill a hole into your head or...
What movie is this?
This is Phantasm.
I don't think I've ever seen this.
It's really old. You've seen it, but I don't think at the time it was something that was like, it wasn't My Little Pony, so it didn't grab you at that time.
See, I've been watching horror movies my whole life. Plenty of them grabbed my attention. I don't remember this.
This was one of those movies that it came on TV, so it wasn't something mommy rented. So it wasn't something we sat down as a family and watched.
Oh yeah, we didn't sit down as a family and watch it when I was a kid. I wasn't seeking out horror when I was 4. Like, why would I be? Imagine a 4-year-old like, so I'm gonna go to play. Like, what? The hell?
Pictures in kindergarten, like, look what I drew.
Exactly. Like, little Kathleen might be going through something at home. Shit.
At home, okay, Miss Brown? Like, that. those are the follow up questions to those.
Exactly. Right before CPS hit on it, come knocking at your door.
Yes.
Anyway, let's move on to the movie we will be talking about this episode that I was super excited about, His House. His House. I was so excited because I have been hearing nothing but good stuff about this movie for weeks and weeks and weeks, probably months. And it has a 100% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yo, the movie.
No, that's rare.
The movie is beginning to end excellent.
As a matter of fact, it's so good. I'm going to stop right now. And I want whoever is listening to pause, go watch this movie. It's on Netflix.
Yes.
Everybody has Netflix there, man. Yes. Okay. Yes. Come back and then listen to us talk to it because I don't want to spoil it for you, but it will be spoiled. Go watch. So we're going to wait. Stop. Hush up. We're waiting. Go ahead. Go. Come back in a few days, 2 weeks. We're going to hush right now. Go ahead. Oh, you're back. Great. So happy you came back. So right. You saw the movie, right? It was great.
All right.
Good. Now you won't be spoiled because that shit was so good. It had Wonmi Mosaku, who played Ruby on Lovecraft Country. She was the older sister.
Yes.
Honestly, she has the most beautiful face I have ever seen on a person.
Yes. This girl is beautiful.
100%. I know. Her face is flawless. I've never seen a face like this before. And let me see if I can say this man's name right. The man that played her husband. Her name was Rial. Her husband's name was Bold. His name in real life, the actor, his name is Chope Daidisu.
But it was Soapy.
Chope.
Oh.
Chope. Like S-H-O-W-P-A-Y. Chope.
The H The H is pronounced, but it's not there, so it's visibly silent. It's spelled S-O-P-E.
I know how it's spelled. That's why I had to look up, because it has mad accents on it. Okay. Like, the little dots underneath each word in the first name, and then the accent on the E. That's all I know. I thought it was Sope. And then I looked up interviews to see, like, how he pronounced it and how everyone else pronounced it. And I saw one interviewer said, Sope Didesu. And I was like, that's not how you say his last name. I was like, that is not, all them accents do not add up to Didesu. Daisu. Right. That's how you say it.
Right.
And so, and then Matt Smith, who was the 11th doctor on Doctor Who, he plays the, like, social worker dude.
Yeah.
Who comes to the house to inspect shit. This movie was fantastic, okay? I don't even know where to start. Let's start in the very beginning. Let's start in the first act. We come into the movie where they are in war-torn South Sudan. Right. They're part of the what's it called? The Dinka ethnic group in South Sudan.
Right.
And so they are fleeing Sudan. Once we come in, they're with their daughter, quote unquote daughter, and they're leaving together as a family. And they come to this house. We see the scene where something happens when they're in a boat. We don't know exactly what happens. There's a noise. All of a sudden, everybody's in the water. And next scene, they're in a detention center.
Right.
And they're getting to get released and go live in a house somewhere. And Matt Smith, I can't remember what his character's name was.
Mark.
Mark, that's it?
Yes.
His name was Mark. That's why I didn't remember.
It was Mark.
Mark. Yeah, he's like, oh, your house is bigger than mine. You got the best house, and it's all yours. Normally, you have a house half this size with twice as many people, but you got the whole house. It's all, and he's making it seem like, oh, you're about to be living it up. And, you know, the way they set this up, it was like somebody, I saw on YouTube, somebody commented, this is the first horror movie where someone has a haunted house, and it makes sense why they don't leave. Because they told them, you cannot leave this house.
Right.
You can't move. Once you're in this house, this is it. This is where you live now. And if you move, you're getting sent back to Sudan.
Yes.
And so they were like, okay, this is all we got. We got to stick it out. We got to stay here. And so it made sense why they were stuck in there. And then there was the moment where Mark says, you guys, you got to make it and stick it out. Be one of the good ones. Now, I don't know if you heard that line.
Yes, I did. And that also threw me, like, did this motherfucker just really say that? Like, one of the good ones?
Mm-hmm.
We're because all good, by the way.
That's that whole thing of the good minority.
Don't be the angry black woman. Don't be the angry black man.
Not just that, but the whole thing of, you know, how Africans immigrating into a country are better than the black people that already live there because they're coming working hard and blah, 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 and all this stuff. And it's like, okay, but you forget about the whole system of systemic racism that keeps the black people that currently live here from doing anything. And the whole reason you do the whole good minority versus bad minority thing is because it keeps the one person on top, which is the white supremacist.
Right.
And that's the whole reason they do that divisive whole language.
That part.
And so the moment I heard that, I was like, oh, okay, I get it. And then they put them in squalor. They talked about how this house was it. It's so big and it's great.
That house was on the floor.
It was shambles. The door fell off when he opened it. The front door. Right.
Yeah, the walls had literally through the whole movie, there was people peeking out at them from inside the walls.
That wasn't because the walls were in shambles. It was just
accessible.
It just made it easier.
It was accessible.
Yeah, the walls.
They didn't have to destroy nothing to spy on you.
Yeah, but he made it worse because he punched a little holes in the wall, made it worse. It was already holes in the wall. The light, there was no electricity. He had to wire all the electricity himself. Yep. The door was off the hinges.
It seemed like most of these tasks he was doing through majority of the movie.
Yes, that was the majority of the movie. He was just trying to fix the place up because he wanted so badly for this to be their home.
But it's to work. Yeah.
Right. And I was like, yo. I kept wondering, why does he feel the need to stick his hand into every random hole in the house?
And I also felt the same thing, because there was certain parts in here, in the movie, that I had to keep saying, and it was usually on Bull's part, mm-hmm. and I had constantly keep saying, why is he doing this white woman shit?
Thank you. Thank you. Who's that? Who's there?
Yeah, Paul Ryan.
I was like, me, girl. The only time he did something that made sense was when he ran out the door.
Right. Right.
And out the front of the top, the front door, he stood and the lady was looking out the window like, motherfucker, what's your problem? He looked up like, hey, hi, how you doing? Like, don't act like you wasn't scared just now.
I was just running from a, you know, ghastly apparition. I'm all right, though. It's okay. You know, paranormal activity ain't never hurt nobody.
No big deal.
Right?
How you doing, neighbor? How you doing? All right.
Had to give my ghost some space real quick.
We had a little tiff. You know what I'm saying?
That's all right. He wanted my soul. I was like, nah, not today, buddy. So, but we good, though. We
gonna work it out. You don't worry, man. We gonna work it out, all right? You know there's a family here, okay?
You know what they say.
Those who creep together, stay together, all right? You know?
And we creepy. Boom, motherfucker.
It's so fucking stupid. You tell me your thoughts, because I can go on and on about this movie. Oh, so many thoughts.
So, as far as, I think, what's her name? Rial. As far as her, like, at first I was like, yo, I thought she was going to sell her husband out. Yeah, I thought that was going to go all the way.
I mean.
Because, you know, their relationship was rocky. They was going through their ups and downs, especially in
that's the place. Thing. They weren't rocky. They were not rocky.
They seemed pretty rocky. Like, they had their disagreements, but they always knew how to come back to each other, you know?
I don't think they were rocky so much as just he was trying so hard to move past their past. And right. She was like, she was more in the vein of, we cannot just not be who we are simply because we don't want to be. That's not how that works.
Right.
And I think that is what was making them bump heads. But they never really, not until the very end, did they really start to fight.
Yeah, because at the end, it got bad. So, you know, you saw that it was a buildup towards, you know, where they was going to head. And I thought she was going to sell him out. Like, I thought she was going to let him go. Like, fuck.
I wish she had.
Sell him
out. We'll get to that. Let's hold that. Because I have so many thoughts and feelings.
Right.
About the ending of this movie.
But first of all, when Mark was selling him the house, I'm sorry, not for nothing. I just got to say this. When Mark was pitching him the house.
Not even pitching. There was no pitch. It was this or nothing.
Like, yeah, this is what you're getting. Even when he was describing the house to them and trying to make it sound so good, watching it come out of his mouth, I already knew, like, dude, you just ain't right. There was nothing about him that just made me feel like, damn, they going to give us something good. Mm-hmm. I looked at him and was like, yeah, this is some shit. This is one of those things white people ain't want. So they just don't give it to
And
to
I kept them. Wondering, like, why?
So remember, why don't one of y'all have it? Like,
not just that, but Rial kept asking, well, why? Why do we get all this? Like, this is all ours? Why? Right. And I was wondering that too. I was like, why are they getting this house that's supposed to be so great? Because it's not great. There's no electricity.
Right.
The front door is falling off the hinges. It was probably cold as fuck in there. You know how cold England is? Oh,
I believe it.
Which I don't think I made that clear. Like, they fled Sudan to England.
Right.
That's where they ended up. And then the rules, he was like, no playing with balls, no playing games, no playing, no walking and talking, no walking, no talking. What the fuck?
What kind of shit is that?
What fucking rules are these? And then you could see, like, people had no respect for that place. It had to have been abandoned for a long time because people were pissing in front of it, shitting on the door,
right,
and all types of stuff. And then there was that scene where she comes in the house and she looks out the window and the girl's pissing and she's like, I think somebody lives in here. She walks away. You didn't see that scene?
Yes, I remember. But when I saw it, I caught it late. So I was, you know, watching my girl. So we end up talking. So I caught it late. And I'm looking like, oh, she just got caught pissing. So when I heard her say that, she was like, I think somebody live here. That gave me the indication that shit been empty a long time.
Long enough for everyone in the neighborhood to see it as that spot. You do whatever.
Yeah. It was the neighborhood sit on. Like, nobody, had to, you know, there was no permission. You ain't need none. You know, mm-hmm. Nobody cared about the property. So you could tell that whatever was going on there, it already had a history with the neighborhood. And
right. It had a history of being the local dump. Because honestly, I don't believe that the place was haunted before they got in there. I don't believe it was one of those situations where, you know, they moved into something that was already there. I really believe that it was, as Brielle said, they brought that shit with them.
Yeah, they brought it with them when they came from Sudan. Mm-hmm. Whatever was, I can't remember exactly what, because I know they did like a flashback in term two.
Oh, you don't remember the details?
Nah, I can't remember the...
Well, I just watched it yesterday, so that's why it's still like fresh in my brain.
Yeah.
It's very fresh in my brain. Every detail, very fresh in my brain. But we're going to get to.
Okay.
I want you to be shocked. Since you don't remember it, I want you to feel the shock all over again.
All right.
Because let me tell you something. When that twist, when that reveal came on the screen, I said, oh, that's what the fuck is going on.
Yo. Yo, just so y'all know, y'all can't see this, but the black conclusion is so hilarious. When we find closure to something, it's like, yeah.
Like, it's all coming together now, nigga. It's all coming together now.
The look on the black face is like,
because,
oh,
CJ,
God. Okay.
The whole time I kept wondering, why is his own daughter trying to kill him?
Right. I kept saying the same thing.
I was like, I understand she died on the way there. And maybe she feels like, y'all left me behind. But I was like, but why would she want to kill them? I could see, and only him. She's not trying to kill
that was the part. Like, yeah, there was no mom involved. Like, she just really was after him.
And I was like, what did he fucking do that makes her want to kill him? And then I started justifying, well, maybe it's because he's trying to forget. Whereas the mother is like, Rial was like, oh, we have to, you know, he was trying to throw the doll out, and the mother, and Rial took the little piece off the doll and made a necklace out of it. Well, she was really trying to bring the little girl with them.
Right.
And so I was like, what is it about him that's really the issue? Because even if he's trying to forget, like, I could understand her haunting his dreams. So many things I could understand, but she put a knife to that nigga's throat.
Yeah.
She wanted him to die.
All of these things were personal. Like, everything that she did to him was personal. Right. It was on a level where I want you to feel this. I didn't think for a long time that she was just out to kill him. She really wanted him to suffer.
She wanted him to suffer in the worst.
She had many opportunities to just end it.
But then there's the moment.
But it was a lot of prolonged.
Because remember, there's the moment though where he decides, this was after Rial, he put on a good old African show, if you will. when he went after he saw all their faces and when they all tried to kill him,
right?
Then the little girl ran back inside the wall, and he turned the light on. He saw her in the hole in the wall, and he went to try and grab her. And he was like, this is my house, and start breaking shit up. And then he went to the social worker and was like, listen, we need to move. Something's wrong with that house. And in my head, I'm like, bro, wherever you go, that shit is going to come with you, because it's you. The house ain't haunted. You are. So he was like, oh, we need to move. We cannot stay in this house. And they're like, well, what's wrong? He's like, there's vermin in the wall, the blah, blah, blah. And when the guys came to the house to inspect, Rial came out with the bed sheet tied over her shoulder. And she was like, there's a witch. There is a witch in this house.
Yes, it is.
No white people are looking at her like, what in the hell?
They ain't know what to think of that shit.
Like, oh shit.
All they can think was,
Africans are crazy. And she was like, this is what they want. They want to see us as crazy. They want to see us as no good. Let them send us back. We have to go back. And she was telling him the story. Did you hear the story she told him? Do you remember the story she told him of the witch?
Remember the subject of the witch, but I don't remember the story. Refresh.
It was a story she told him when she was like, you know, when she was growing up, her mother used to tell her a story about a poor man who started out honorable, but because he wanted a house, he started stealing. And one day he stole from...
character is played by, I think it's Javar Boutit.
Who? What character?
The witch.
Oh.
Yeah,
okay.
That character is played by Javar Boutit.
Yeah. which it wasn't really a witch. There was a different word that she used for it that I can't remember, and I don't want to say it wrong. But she said witch to the white people because she knew that's what would scare them. And okay. That's what would make them like, oh, y'all tripping. Two.
There was a black guy and there was a white guy. So the black guy was played by Connell S. John. He was one of the witches. And Javon Boutique was one of the witches as well.
I wonder if the one who spoke was the black guy. Because there's times when it speaks and times when it doesn't speak. But
I think that's the black guy.
Okay. Yeah, so she's telling him the story. She's like, yeah, the man started stealing from people. And then one day he stole from this creature. I can't remember what it was called. He didn't know that that's who he stole from. Then when he built his house, the house now belonged to him and the creature. And the creature was in the house haunting him because he was a thief. And she was trying to say, that's what's in our house. Because of what you did to get us here, that is in this house with us.
Wow.
And so he was like, you don't know what you're talking about, and wouldn't listen to her. And she was like, she was asking him like, so you trying to tell me you haven't seen anything funny in here? You ain't seen no shit, you ain't heard no shit.
And he know he did, because he was going through it the worst.
Okay.
He was getting the biz.
Okay.
In the house.
That house is putting him through it.
Fucking him
off. Yes. Yes.
And I'm sorry, Bo. I'm sorry, Bo. It's hilarious, bro.
He deserves normally
in a movie like this, they make the wife seem crazy.
Yes, you are absolutely right.
The husband works. He ignores her. He doesn't pay her any attention. He just makes her seem crazy. It gets to the point where the neighbors think she's crazy. Family thinks she's crazy. And then the wife ends up all by herself trying to defend some kid or anything of that nature. They always make the wife out to be crazy. And this time around, I'm sorry, Bo, you had to bite that bullet.
You are absolutely right.
100% reversed on you.
I did not even think about it. You are absolutely right. In these type of haunted house movies, if it's a married couple, it's always the wife no one believes her. Husband is like, oh, you're sick. Oh, you need to lay down. Oh, you know, you be tired. Oh, your headaches, whatever the case. You are so right. I didn't even think that shit.
Only other movie that probably didn't give it that level was probably one of the Amityville horrors, because in all of those, it's always the men who go crazy first.
Yeah, but see, when it's shit like that, where the man goes crazy, he goes crazy and kills off the whole family.
Yeah,
where
exactly.
The woman goes crazy protecting the family. And right, I saw that somewhere. I read that in some shit when The Haunting of Hill House came out.
Right.
Something I read somewhere where they said that that's what The Haunting of Hill House showed, how the woman always goes crazy protecting and nobody listens to her, and the husband goes crazy and kills off the whole family. That's usually how that shit works.
Yep.
And to be honest, I thought that's where this shit was going. I thought he was going to kill Rial.
Yeah.
I thought what was going
to
happen.
I thought he was either going to kill her, or once she got the deal that was being presented to her and found out what the entity wanted, I thought she was going to cave and give in because she wanted to get rid of that shit. But she knew the risks.
Well, they both knew what the entity wanted. They both knew that it wanted him dead.
Right.
They both knew that. She just didn't know that it wanted her to kill him until the end, when it was like, if you do it, we'll let you get your daughter back. And you can go back home.
It's giving her those offers you can't refuse. That's what really happens.
And now let's get to, did I finish my last thought? She put on an African show? I was telling the story.
You're actually refreshing us on the story of the witch.
Did I finish it? Yeah, I did. No, I did finish it. Yeah, that's what was in the house with them. And that's what he was trying to lie and say that he ain't been seeing no ghosts. And ain't nothing been haunting him. And she was like, and she straight said, you a liar. She was like, you
just
a liar.
Like that.
Just like that. She was like, you're a liar.
Just like that.
I know you're scared. I know it's coming for you. And she was like, because it told me. It told me it came for your ass.
Exactly.
And the best part was when he was talking to her and he's like, I know you're scared. And she said, scared? Me? The shit I done seen? The shit I seen human beings do to other human beings? You think these bumps in the night can scare me? You scared. She was like, you scared. That's who's scared. Let's talk about that. Okay.
Let's get to that part.
Okay.
And he was terrified.
No, he was so scared. He was terrified.
She pulled his card every second of this movie that she got. Every second that she got, she pulled his card. She was not. This I gotta give it to her. This is one of those relationships where, as a man, you gotta be a strong man to deal with such a strong woman. But she definitely
not deal with, because she ain't a problem.
Yeah, she's not a problem. Not man
to stand with.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. That's the word I'm looking for. And she's definitely gonna pull your card. She's gonna keep you on your toes
every minute.
She did that to him through the whole movie.
The whole movie. She was like, "Me scared? No. you're the one, and you're a liar at that.
Exactly.
And a thief. Let's talk about that too.
Let's get to that part. Don't forget about that part.
So let's get into when I lost all sympathy for Bo.
Let's go.
When the twist was revealed to me, and I said, "Oh, that's why. That's why all of Ghosts want him dead." And I agree. Kill him. I was like, take his ass out. So, this is the part where I'm gonna let you know, if you did not watch the movie, you finna be mad.
You're about to be pissed.
Because I'm going to spoil it. I hope
you took advantage of
this twist. Is huge. We gave you a break earlier. You should have went then. You didn't. It's too bad for you. Anyway, so they play out like I don't know if just call it a flashback or, well, it's technically a flashback, but it's where Rial finally is getting out of the house. And I started to lose sympathy at this moment for Bol because he started to lock Rial in the house.
Right.
He broke all the, like, took all the doorknobs off, and he locked her in the house because she wanted to go back to Sudan. She was like, "I want to go back. I know that this is what
he
this
is." Basically
this
made thing a hostage out of her.
Right. Locked her in the house and all that. And so he decides, "I'm going to talk to this witch thing myself. I'm good." And so he sets shit up so that he can talk to it himself. Ends up pissing himself. He was so scared.
Yep.
And she said, "Okay, well, while you sitting there in a trance, hear yourself, I'm going to book it." And she ends up to get it out, and she falls out of a window and is laying in the ground sleeping. But in her dream, she thinks that she ran out of the house and she's back in Sudan. So she's in Sudan and she sees all her friends coming to her and hugging her. And now we are seeing the day when everything started for them in the Sudan. Where we started in the beginning, we're seeing where it really began.
So we see
where she is in now. Little quick backstory, because, you know, I like to give real facts with sometimes.
Go with
so,
it.
So the political struggle in South Sudan, the civil war started in December 2013.
Right.
At this point, there have been nearly 400,000 people killed and nearly 4 million people displaced or have fled to neighboring countries or to England or US or wherever they could get to. It is a war between Dinka and Nuer. I'm not sure if I'm saying it properly. It started out where the president, Salva Kiir, and the former vice president, Riek Machar, started bumping heads. So they started to start this political rift between the two of them. Dinka went and sided with the president, Nuer sided with the VP, and the civil war began from there, December 23rd. Wow. Now you have, whenever shit like this happens in any country, you know how that shit goes. You have the armed groups of militia or just random citizens that got weapons they shouldn't have all of a sudden starting to terrorize whole neighborhoods. They're raping women, they're looting, they're recruiting children to be in their little armies and shit like that. Right. And that's just some of the things that they're doing. They're terrorizing. And so there's a moment in the movie where Rial is talking about how when she came home one day and found her family butchered, she decided to carve the markings for the Dinka and the Nuer into her body so that neither one would know which tribe she belonged to or which ethnic group she belonged to. And
I
so,
remember that.
Right. So I looked up because I wanted to see what the markings looked like, because she showed her arm and she had the cuts on her face.
Right.
The ones on her face I saw were our actual Dinka markings. Mm-hmm. But the Dinka ones are hers were little teeny ones. The Dinka ones are huge. They take up like a whole section of the face. And then something else that was weird to me, I was like, the little girl's markings are completely different from theirs. And I was like, if they're from the same ethnic group, and I don't know, I don't know enough. Right. I don't know enough. Like, I didn't get to do as much research as I would have liked. But from what I saw, like, there's like a certain marking for each ethnic group. So I was like, why are hers so different from theirs if she's in the same ethnic group? And I know, like, for older people, you might have more markings or different markings. Though for women, they said that they might get markings each time they have a child to show how many children they have or when they get married and stuff like that. So I was like, that makes sense. But she's a little girl. Right. She probably don't have no kids or husband to get all the markings for.
Right.
So I kept thinking about that, and that shit kept bothering me. I was like, why does she look so different if they're from all the same ethnic group?
And what did you find out?
Well, this is what I found out because of the movie. Motherfucking Bo kidnapped that little girl.
Oh.
Because what happened was the day started out where Rial was with her friends in like a community meeting place for women. And they were all laughing, having a good time. And then some people came in and shot all the women, killed all the women. Rial was hiding.
Wow.
And Bo came looking for her, found her, and they went running. And they were walking for a long ass time, probably like a couple of days, to find like this bus that was, or this truck that was supposed to, no, it was a bus that would take them to a truck. That would take them to like a boat that would take them to England.
Right.
So they were at the bus, but the bus was full. And the lady said that they're not letting anyone who doesn't have kids on the bus. The little girl was standing there looking for her mama. She was going, mama, mama, looking for her mom. He grabs the little girl and says, we have a kid.
Wow, Bo, you asshole. I remember that. Okay.
We have a kid. All right. They get on the bus. And just as the bus is about to take off, you see the girl's mother banging on the window, calling her name. Her name was Nagak, I think. And she's banging on the wall, on the window, going, Nagak, Nagak. And the little girl screaming, ma, ma, trying to get back. And he's holding the little girl down, telling her, shh. And everybody's looking at them. Rial is looking at him like, nigga, you really not going to let her go to her mom?
Yeah.
So after that, Rial decided, well, this is our daughter now. I'm taking care of her no matter what. So when they're in the truck, this is the scene where we start the movie, where Rial whispers to her, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to protect you. Next scene, the boat capsizes and everybody falls in the water.
Right.
Bo let the little girl drown so that he and Rial could live. He sacrificed the little girl so that he and Rial could live. Rial was trying to save the little girl. He held Rial back and would not let her save her and watch that girl die. That's why she was trying to kill him.
Bo, you're a bowl of shit. You just
went right. Off. Right. When I saw
that little girl in all of that situation,
I said, fuck him forever. Kill him, Rao. Slice him up. I was like, that's what you fucking brought. You brought that girl's spirit with you.
Yep.
She's like, yo, you fucking kidnapped me and murdered me pretty much. He could have saved her, but he would not because he just didn't care about her. She was just a tool to get from point A to point B.
Yeah, exactly.
Little fucking girl.
Damn, Bo, you're an asshole.
Hold on. Don't
forget that part. You're an asshole. Hold on. Everything that happened to you in this movie, you deserved it, bro. Everything in this movie that happened to you, Bo, you deserved it, bro. Sorry.
Mm-hmm. Full on asshole.
Every bit of it. Even when Mark was talking to you crazy, you deserved
it. For real. And he was so busy, like, we're one of the good ones. We're one of the good ones. Remember, Mark? Yeah. We're one of the good ones. Because he was fully falling into that shit. And then he went and bought clothes so that he could dress like the white guy. Like, he was looking at all the pictures of the white men in the ads and buying their same outfits and buying those same clothes from the white women for Rial. And she was just sitting there like, this is dumb. Let's go back.
Exactly.
That damn witch thing said, let's go back and we can be okay. You have to go back. You fucked up. You did wrong. And we got to go back.
I remember so much. I remember so much about you, Bo. Majority of the shit I remember about Bo is that he was scared to death and he caught the business. And his wife was not playing with his ass.
Mm-hmm.
So now, I forgot about that part, Bo. You're an asshole.
Mm-hmm.
You're an asshole. Full everything that happened to him.
Asshole. And he deserves everything that happened to him. Everything that happened to him, he deserved. And the only time I kind of had some little semblance of respect for him was he finally decided to sacrifice himself. So that the thing would come for him and leave Rial alone. That's when he was like, okay. He was like, and I thought in that moment, because it was that, I don't know if you remember, the knife was sitting there on the counter and it kept shaking.
Right.
And it kept shaking.
I thought Rial was going to kill him.
Me too. But I think she was thinking about it. That's why she walked over.
Because remember that they told her, look, this is what he wants. This is what it wants.
Yep.
You can give it, you can give up Bowl and walk away.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's what they told her. And so she was like, and I think she was thinking about it, but at the same time, it's like, as awful as he was, this was somebody that she loved him. He was her husband. You know what I'm saying? So she was thinking and she was taking her some time. So she walked over to the knife and like was at the kitchen sink. The knife was over on the side by the stove, but it kept shaking like, hey, hello, we're over here. Yep. Remember that deal? Yep.
Don't forget.
We told you. Yep.
Don't forget. We told you.
So she was like, she went, and then she heard the noise of the knife moving again, and she turned, and Bol had the knife. And I was like, oh, he gonna fucking kill her.
I thought, not for nothing, Rael is a heavyweight. I thought she was gonna fuck him up, take that knife from his
ass. Yo, if she needed to fight, I fully believe she was gonna whoop
I thought she was gonna whoop his ass, take that knife from him, and it was gonna be one of those scenes where they wrestling over the knife, and all of a sudden you see both got bodies jerk up and Bol go down.
Yep, that's what I thought. I just thought he was gonna go up behind her and slit her throat or something while she was not paying attention. Or something. I just thought he was going to kill her. I didn't think he was going to let her live. I really did.
I thought he would have tried, but for some reason, she in this movie just had too much power. She was too powerful for him.
She's too strong. Yeah.
Yeah. She was
to be taken down easily.
Yeah. So I didn't see. And even if Bo would have tried, it would have been a long fucking scene. I mean, Mr. and Mrs. Smith, a whole movie worth
of... I never saw that movie, but I know
War of the Roses. One of those two, War of the Roses, Mr. and Mrs. Smith, half this movie would have been the two of them in there battling it out, and you'd have had to look at him and been like, God, did you even slap the other person? I mean,
to be fair, once the sun went down and the ghost came out, he wasn't going because it was going to be too many against
him. Oh, yeah. That
jump, homie. It's going to be too many against him.
You got to jump. You on the wrong block, homie. Yeah. You in the living room? Wrong block.
Sat tripping over here, nigga. Fuck you.
You got a pulse? This nigga got a pulse over here, y'all. We got him.
Absolutely. But yeah, when he took the knife, he took it so that he could slit his arm open and give his flesh to the thing. Right. So when Rial realized what happened, he told her, just go and let it take me so you can be free. Just let it take me. And At first I didn't think too much about it in the moment, but after I thought about it, because Rial ends up saving him. She waits until the witch gets damn all in his flesh.
Damn near the last minute.
Yeah, she in the elbow down his throat. It was ripping his skin from his arm, pretty much. And she waited until the little girl spirit was free. And when she saw that the little girl spirit was free and came over to her and held her hand and was like forgiving, that's when she went and saved him.
Yeah.
She slit the witch's throat or whatever it was. And I understand why she did it, but what it made me think of, just as a Black woman who has dealt with Black men, I've only ever dated Black men, all that surrounds me, Black men. It was just another example of the work that Black women are required to do. She suffered the same trauma as Bol. She went through the same turmoil to get to where they were.
Yep.
Yet then she was also forced to suffer him and the consequences of his actions and then save him from said consequences.
Mm-hmm.
And it just felt like this is what it is like to be a Black woman. We are always forced to carry the burden of our Blackness, the man, Black man's Blackness, and the burden of white supremacy and the burden of our femininity. God forbid you be queer, because now you have that burden as well. It is too fucking much sometimes.
It's the list goes on. Those are just the things that are on the surface.
Right. And just the things that I can name. And it's like, I had this conversation with my friends before because we were just talking about dating and blah, blah, blah. And I was just like, why do Black women feel that we have to suffer? Why are we always having to suffer to be loved by Black men? Black men give us so little and we give so much. And it doesn't make sense. And this is why it hurts as a Black woman to see a Black man dating outside of our race, because it's like, yo, of all that I've done, and you still don't even choose me? You still don't even see me as desirable? You don't even see me as worthy of spending your life with and creating a family with? That shit hurts. That's why Black women get upset, because we know how much we are willing to sacrifice for the very little that we get from Black men. And then to not even get that little bit, for you to take even that away and give it to someone else, that shit hurts.
You heard it. from the mouth of a Black woman.
I'm just saying. And I'm not someone who is against interracial relations. I truly don't care. Like, love who you love. If you find someone that loves you the way you deserve to be loved and you love that person right, go for it. I just feel like I get it when Black women get angry when they see that shit happen. I get it completely.
Understood.
You know what I'm saying? Understood. I completely get it. And it's real that it just feels a lot of times like, yo, Black men don't give a shit but pain.
And just think, these are realities that are felt by the acting prestige of, you know, these go through, you know, in an everyday struggle. But the acting prestige of what's this young lady's name? Wanmi? How you pronounce her name? How you pronounce
Wanmi?
Rael's name? Wanmi? Wanmi? Mm-hmm. Her acting prestige can give some emotion. Her acting can make you feel exactly what that character is going through. So everything that Kathleen is saying right now, these are the questions that were dredged up by the act and by the scene and by the circumstances.
No, I can't say that these were brought up by her acting, because for one, I'm not going to discredit her acting. Her acting is fantastic. It was brought up by the writing because of the way that they wrote this character. They wrote it so that the Black woman would have to be the strong one in the relationship. Right. She would have to be the one to get them through these horrible times, even though she suffered just like he suffered.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Her acting definitely brought that writing to the table. Because you wouldn't have seen it if it wasn't for...
No, I would have seen it because I seen
it. If it was a poor actor, you know...
It wouldn't have mattered.
Probably wouldn't have seen
it. The story was a story regardless of who was acting it out.
Indeed.
And it was written that way. And because I have lived it and because I have witnessed it, I saw that reality in it.
Okay.
And it was written by a Black man. So I saw what was actually there. Nothing extra had to be done by the acting. And I'm again, Wanmi, Chope, fantastic. They did so well in this movie. Like, there is nothing negative I can say about their acting. But that's just my experience as a Black woman. It's just, I'm telling you, me and my friends have had these conversations. And where I'm like, and I feel like I'm always the only one in the group who's like, yo, why do we have to suffer? And everybody comes up with, you know, Black man in America and Black men. And I'm like, I live in the same America the Black man live in.
Right.
I'm dealing with the same racism he's dealing with. And sexism. I don't feel safe around Black men or white men.
That part.
That should not be. There is no point in time where a Black man is going to be near a Black woman and say, I don't feel safe around her. I feel the same way in front of a Black woman as I do in front of a white man. Never.
Right.
But I feel equally unsafe in a room full of Black women, Black men, and in a room full of white men. Equally. They can harm me just the same, and it should not be that way.
And it definitely shouldn't, but then, you know, that's the America we live in, unfortunately.
But at what point do Black men decide, this is on us now?
Now, I think in a lot of ways, that day is coming, because these are atrocities. Because
I'm alive now.
I get that.
You have daughters that are alive now.
I get that. And there's things that I may not see come to fruition. There may be things
But that's the thing, CJ. You don't have to see it come to fruition. You can be the fruition.
Exactly. You know, being that one person that I treat my daughters a certain way, you know, and give them a certain sense of security, pride, or whatever it is that I, you know, as a dad that I can give them, I don't, you know, I want them to expect to know that the world ain't going to be as forgiving and as giving as dad. You know, they're going to know that, you know what I'm saying? So at the same time, I want them to still walk out this door and know at the end of the day, you know, I know how I'm supposed to be treated. I know how I want to be treated, and I won't settle for less. So, and there's no compromise to that game. But again, I think that day is coming, because it's not just, you know, women, especially Black women, not just Black women, because sexism doesn't know color. It just knows women, you know, so.
But that's the thing, CJ, you can't say sexism knows no color. It's just women, because I am a Black woman. I am Black and I am a woman. No matter what, when I walk into a room, if there are men in the room, I am going to deal with both their racist ideas and their sexist ideas. Right. I am not, they don't choose which one to inflict upon me. I get it all. And so that's, it's not okay to say, Oh, it's across the board. Yes, it is across the board, but I'm talking about Black women and Black men and the way Black men treat Black women.
And like I said, I think those days are coming. Like there's going to be a lot of days that Black people want, especially myself, my parents, my grandparents. There's days that, you know, we may not see come to fruition, but our grands may see it. You know?
TJ, so, I don't want to hear that bullshit. I'm sorry. It's bullshit. It's bullshit. I hear you.
Change take time.
No, CJ, I don't want to hear that. That's lazy. Granted. What you should be saying is, as a Black man, I am going to do better. And I'm going to make sure that every Black man in my radius does better, including your son, including your friends, including your father. Every man that is Black that you interact with, you need to make sure that you are teaching them how to treat Black women. Simple.
Agree.
I don't want to hear one day, because you're talking about one day, but you're alive today. So who's going to make it to the one day? If you're not teaching nobody, who's going to bring the lessons forward?
And
everybody is talking about.
I agree with that 100%. No, I agree with that 100%. Because at the same time, every man that I'm around, we all feed off of each other's energy. And none of us, especially the younger parts of us, my son, my nephews, you know, none of us, you know, look at women, you know, objectively or talk bad towards them or treat them bad. And even if you're ignorant to certain things, because it happens, certain things, especially the younger portions of men, are ignorant to. Well, still, yo, bro, that's not the thing you talk about. That's not the thing you ask. Or that's not how you do it. There's a certain treatment. Aggression is not something that rules the world. If you're going to speak to somebody, you're going to speak to them with the same respect that you want. If you have a daughter, the same man that you want to see her with is the man you need to be. And that's, you know, my general point when it comes to me, my daughters, and the future that I see for them and the men around them. You know, and it's something that's one of those things that doesn't have to be spoken, because we're all raised by women.
That's not true, because there's plenty of men who are raised by women who still treat women like trash, and they're and Black men specifically look at their Black ass mother and then turn around and say that they don't want to be with a dark skinned woman.
Trust me, I know that. I know that 100%. So, but on those same notes, there's some men that take from what they have, right things. I'm not gonna speak for the ones that don't take, you know, all the right things that they should have took from their parents. Or especially when it comes to respecting their mother and looking out for just the Black women in their family, the Black women in their radius, and knowing that we're not just, you know, the dudes that they can call whenever some dude act up. They can call us to talk. We can chill. We can hang out. You know, we can be cousins. We can be friends. Everything doesn't necessarily have to fall back on, you know, I'm a man, you're a woman. You know what I'm saying? We can just be two people. You know, and that's what I be trying to teach my son. And this is why I think, you know, no matter what, as a Black man, if you're not going to support a Black woman, just step the fuck aside. You're in the way of progress.
I agree.
right?
We can move on. I just, you know, when I can get hot and heavy, and I just really, that's at the end of this movie, that's all I could think about, because I truly feel that Bull deserved to die.
Agreed.
He deserved to die. And Rial should have let it happen. And it just upset me that once again, a Black woman had to do more than should be necessary or should be asked of any human being. And this whole thing where Black people like to talk about Black women, and Black women are superheroes, Black women are so strong, Black women are the backbone of blah, blah, blah. Black women are human fucking beings.
Agreed.
And we can be broken. And that's what I want to see people treating us like. The same way white women get to be fragile and delicate, so are Black women. And I need to see more Black men treating Black women with delicacy and with kindness and with respect and with love that is unconditional. When I say unconditional, I mean love regardless of whether or not you want to fuck her and whether or not she's related to you by blood.
Right.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Wait. Oh, okay. Okay. I got you. Yeah. I got you. I had to think about that.
Yes.
But I got you.
I don't know what was confusing. I know I was clear. Yes.
Yes. I had to look around. When you said blood, I was like, well, hold on a minute.
Shoot.
Yeah, we respect them too. Yes, we respect all of them.
Yeah. You love and respect your mother, your sister, your daughter, your aunt, your nieces, but And then you also love and respect the woman that you're sleeping with, your wife, your girlfriend, whatever. But then every other Black woman is disposable? Absolutely not. Because Black women do not treat Black men that way. Because no matter what Black men do to Black women, when something happens, when the shit hits the fan, who is the first one fighting for your ass? Okay. So anyway, on a scale of 1 to 5, let's see. On a scale of 1 to 5, skinny white men asking immigrant to be one of the good ones.
Oh, this movie right here.
What do you give this movie?
This movie right here get a 5. And this, I think this is my first full 5. All 5 stars go to this movie. All 5 stars.
Same.
Full off. I didn't even get, I think I gave Lovecraft Country a 4.5 or a 4.
Yeah, I give Lovecraft a 4.5, maybe a 4.
So even with Lovecraft, I gave it a 4.5 or 4, I can't remember. But this movie, His House, 5 stars full.
Full 5 stars.
I think anybody will love this movie. And I'm not just saying that, you know, for the Black folk, but I'm saying that for anybody. Everybody will love this movie. This movie is definitely a curveball to what the stereotypical hero or heroine in the movie is definitely about.
Not just that, the stereotypical horror, like Haunted House story. This was so, like, it had a lot of those same jump scares and spooky elements that you come to expect, but things were also done in a different way and a really creepy vibe. I literally watched the movie like this through my fingers. I was terrified. So. It was so good. Okay, it gave me the scare. If you like being scared, you like scary movies, you're going to get that. If you like a thriller and a mystery, you're going to get that. If you like stories that are just different, told from a different perspective, and this one is told the immigrant story, trying to assimilate, because a lot of that impacts the way things happen in the horror. A lot of the
scary, and I can say that's definitely an angle that we rarely, or just rarely, if ever. Seen or, you know, or explored. So this one, definitely all 5 stars, man. They did a great job. The writing was great. The acting was great. The scenes were great. The location was great. Everything in this movie lined up perfectly. I have no complaints about this movie. It left you with questions. It left you with thought-provoking conversation. It was definitely.
Yes. Have not stopped thinking about it since.
Yes.
So. Have not stopped thinking. And I cannot wait to watch it again. I can't wait. 5 stars for me as well. Highly recommend. Okay, we got some time left on the clock. Since we got real intense at the end. Yes, you know, I got in my feelings. But you know, I always come through a cake for Black women. I don't give a fuck.
Definitely. The feminist is real on that side. You know, you hear me?
There it is. I don't give a fuck. Always go cake for Black women. Let's play a game. I don't like that. Didn't like that at all. Anyway, back to the game we were going to play. How about we play Guess Who? We haven't played that in a while. You want to go first?
Yes. Okay. Okay. So this movie is pure fantasy.
Okay.
In this movie, the main character is chasing, or better yet, in search of parts to a crystal or something like that. So... they have these, the villains in the movie. There's one in particular, they make this noise. Through the whole movie.
are you sure this is something I would know? A movie
we have seen this movie. I know you've seen this movie. It's very old. You have seen it.
This because it's old, don't mean I've seen it. Are you sure that seen it? We've seen it.
And they just made a remake of it on Netflix. I think it either came out earlier this year or last year.
Okay, so I guess let's start the questions then. You said they're the villain, right?
Yes.
Okay. That wasn't one of my questions. I just couldn't remember what you said. Okay. Is this a human character?
No.
Okay. Are they a mythical creature?
Like,
is it a creature that exists in the real world?
No.
Are they small?
The heroes, the main characters, are smaller than the villains. The villains are a lot bigger.
But that doesn't tell me if they're smaller. They're bigger than the hero.
They're bigger than the hero, but in their, I guess you could say, on their scale of tall and short, they're the big guys.
Like, if they were in a room with me, would I be bigger than them?
No.
So they're bigger than me?
Yes.
Are they furry?
They have hair, but they're not furry.
I already know I'm not going to know what the fuck this is.
You should have seen this movie. I had Okay, I actually, here's another hint. I actually did a post on Instagram that said Nicki Minaj plays all characters in this show or movie.
Never saw that post. Okay. Never saw that. I don't know what you're talking about.
All of the heroes look like Nicki Minaj. It looked like she could play the entire cast.
Is this animated?
It's not animated. It's almost puppet-like. Yeah. Kind of puppet. Kind of puppety.
See, I'm not going to know what this villain is. If it's a movie I'm thinking of, I'm not going to know what this villain is. The movie I'm thinking of is some movie where they're like these weird humanoid looking creatures and they're puppets. Brownie loves this movie.
Okay.
But they live in caves.
Yes.
They live in caves.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they do live in caves. Living, I don't think I've ever...
They live in caves. They live in a lot of things. Cave, trees. They have like little huts. They're like Keebler elves. Like they live in everything in the forest.
What?
Yes.
And this is a fantasy?
Yes.
What?
Full blown. There's actually three installments of the movie. One is called Age of Renaissance or Resistance.
Never heard of it. I promise you, I've never seen this movie. Watch when it's revealed. You're going to go through all these questions and I'm not going to have no...
Don't worry. I'm going to show you a picture and it's going to come flooding right back.
Low key, I want to give up because I know I did not see this movie.
I know we saw this movie together.
How old was I? 3? Because that doesn't count as me seeing the movie.
You had to be maybe 9, 10.
I don't believe it. Ain't no way.
I could say that. And it's one of these movies that we've seen many times actually through our lives.
Fantasy.
Yep. Yep.
The creatures that hum.
Yes. And we used to say about mama, because you know mama used to be sitting there with the No, what was mama saying? What was it? Mama had a hum too. I can't remember what it was.
She would go all the time. Mm. That's what she would do.
No.
She would go Oh yeah, that too.
So
that too.
It was another one mama used to do. So when we first saw this movie, we used to all the time talk about mama because that thing used to all the time be in the background of the conversation.
Is it Mac and Me?
No, but which is a good movie to look up too.
It is. I can remember Mac and Me. So that was my 6th question. Not Mac and Me. Is it E.T.? Villain humming in the background. Puppets that live in trees and caves. Trolls? No, that's a horror.
That's a horror.
I don't fucking know what this is.
You got 2 questions left?
No, that's 20 questions. Okay. I only asked 8.
Yeah, I know.
See how this
I'm thinking
is going?
It was 10. There we go.
It should be 10. I don't feel like asking 20 when I have no... It's one thing if you have an inkling and you can ask the questions to push you toward that. I have no inkling of anything.
Gosh. Because I truly can't think of who played who in this movie at all.
I don't even think this movie is real.
This movie is very real.
I give up. What is it?
Okay, the name of the movie is called The Dark Crystal. So
I've never seen that movie.
You've seen this movie. You saw the Really?
No, with haven't. I know exactly. Never seen that movie because they scare me. I never watched that movie. That's why I knew. I was like, I don't think. And this is the movie I was asking you about when I asked if they were in caves.
Yeah, they live in caves. Mostly live in caves.
I didn't even know that. All I knew was caves because I know I've seen screenshots of the movie.
Yes.
I've never, ever seen that movie.
Wow.
Ever.
I thought you would have seen that.
No.
That's actually one of the goodies from back in the day.
Because I hear that everybody loves that movie. I don't like puppets like that. I told you, I don't fuck with puppets.
Gotcha.
Motherfuckers are creepy.
Gotcha.
I never saw that movie.
So the dark.
So I was like, I know that this is that movie with them damn creepy looking puppets that look like humans.
Yeah.
I don't like that shit.
No, I think they all look. I think the entire cast, as far as the heroes side goes, I think they were called the Elflings. All of them look like Nicki Minaj to me.
I don't even know. I only know of the one screenshot of a boy and a girl together. I don't even want to see no more because they're so ugly. They offend me. I don't want to see anymore. No, thank you.
They are so ugly. They offend me. I'm dead.
I don't want to see anymore.
I'm dead.
Well, I've got a character in mind. This is from a animated fantasy.
Animated fantasy. Let's go.
Mm-hmm. So you go ahead. You can ask your question.
Okay. Does this anime take place in the woods?
In the woods, no.
Okay. Is this character an animal?
Yes.
Is this character, can he fly?
No, not that I know of.
Okay. Is it a boy or a girl?
I believe it is a boy.
Okay. Who makes it? Is it Disney? Is it Marvel? Hanna-Barbera? Who makes this?
To be honest with you, I don't know. Let me see. I don't think it's Disney.
Okay.
Maybe Hanna-Barbera? I don't think it's Disney.
Okay. Is it rated R or is it for all ages?
It's for the babies.
Okay, it's for the babies. For the babies.
For the
okay.
babies.
Is this character the villain or the hero?
One of the heroes. Oh, actually, it is Disney. It became Disney at some point in its iteration.
Okay, so it is Disney.
What are you up to? Question six?
I believe so. Six or seven. Does this character, this is one of the heroes, is this character fat? Or heavyweight?
Kinda.
Is this character a mouse?
No.
Okay, but we know he's an animal. We know he's an animal, but he's not a mouse. Because I was just thinking about Gus from Cinderella. Gus.
Oh, that would have been good, but that's not who it is. Gus.
What time period is this character in? Is it prehistoric?
I don't know. I mean, I have no idea. I don't think they have a time period.
Okay, they don't have a time period.
Yeah, like it's not one of those where I could be like, oh, they're based in this time. Like they don't have, they live in a whole, it's another world that I can't attribute a time period to. A whole other
world. Okay. It might be a dude. That's what it seems like. It's kind of chubby. Mm-hmm. It's an animal. Mm-hmm. The franchise is now, not franchise, but the movie is owned by Disney currently through mm-hmm. this generation.
I don't know. I just know at some point it became a Disney product. I don't know when in its iteration.
Okay. Is this character a dog?
No. Who are you thinking? A dog. A dog?
Wow. Damn. I'm stumped. You got me. I think you got me this time.
Would you like a hint?
Yes, throw me a hint.
I used to have this, I used to have it in teddy bear form. Yeah, I used to have a little teddy bear of this character. Well, it was bigger than me at the time.
And it was a big teddy bear. Mm-hmm. Good gracious. God damn. You had a few bears that was actually bigger than you. So I'm trying to think.
I do. After I said it, I was like, now that I think about it, I had a lot of bears.
Yeah, because I remember I remember that big green Care Bear you had. So, God, what could it be? Hold on. You had it in bear form, so it's not a bear. It was just in bear form. Mm-hmm. God. How many hints do I got?
How many hints?
Yeah.
You got 10 more questions.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know. You think you need another hint? I don't know.
Because that bear was, it really didn't open the door.
It was a good hint I can give without giving too much away. It was a very bubblegum friendly, joyful TV show and had some movies.
Bubblegum friendly TV show. Now I'm either thinking Strawberry Shortcake or Rainbow Bright.
Definitely wasn't nobody's Rainbow Bright.
So Strawberry Shortcake.
Rainbow Bright was... Yeah, Rainbow Bright wasn't around when I was a kid. Rainbow Bright was like the 70s and they came back around like recently. Yeah,
okay. So no Rainbow Bright, no Strawberry Shortcake. I'm pretty sure it's not a Smurf.
No. I never liked that show.
And this is a friend of the hero. He's not the actual hero.
Yes, he was the actual hero as well.
Oh, he was the actual hero. Mm-hmm. Okay, now that gives me something kind of chubby, hero-like. I'm stumped. You're going to have to give me this one.
Really?
Yeah, normally don't take me this long. They usually just pop right up.
I feel like you can figure it out.
Okay, all right. Give me one more hint. Let me see. Give me one more hint.
Low-key. No, I'm not going to tell you that hint. If I say that hint, you're going to get it. It was a part of an ensemble.
Part of a group. Now I'm thinking Land Before Time.
No.
A group. It's not a mouse. Ain't a bear. It's in a group of something that just became Disney. Jesus
Christ. I don't know if it just became Disney.
But at some point it became Disney.
I don't even know if it's still Disney. I just know at some point in its existence, it was a Disney production or product or whatever.
Gosh. God damn. This shit confusing like a motherfucker. damn. She got me sweating in my headphones and shit. Damn, what the fuck? God damn. Yo, I'm really stumped. I can use the capture characters. Damn, I'm stumped. I don't know.
Okay, so I would have taken either of these two answers because I could not remember the character's name. And you said that I had a Care Bear when I was a kid.
Yeah.
It is that Care Bear. What? His name was either Braveheart Lion or Heart to Heart Bear. I just remember that when you hugged him, you heard the heartbeat.
Yes, I remember him. Mm-hmm. Yes. And that was Braveheart.
It was that Care Bear. And when you said, yeah, I remember you had the Care Bear that was mad big. I was like, oh. And you just walked away. You were completely away from it. And you were right there. And I was going to say, you just mentioned it, but I was like, nah, if I say that, you're going to for sure get it.
Yeah, because I still needed to get the character, and there's a million Care Bears.
Yeah, but which Care Bear did I have?
Exactly.
It was only the one with the heart on his little bed.
I remember, you had a couple of them, because you had the one with the heartbeat when you hugged it. You had a green one with the a four-leaf clover, a clover on his stomach.
Yeah, that's, I can't remember which one that is. The green one is like the clover one, like lucky something or something.
Yeah, something like
but
that.
The one I had with the heart that you hugged it and you felt the
and
heart.
That one was pink.
Yeah, so that was Heart to Heart Bear.
Yeah.
So that's what I had. So that's the character I was thinking of. I couldn't remember his name was Braveheart Lion. There's two with a heart.
Right.
Braveheart Lion and Heart to Heart Bear. I was like, I don't think I had that lion.
I remember that.
I had Heart to Heart Bear.
I remember that. Oh man, that's a throwback. Shit.
Proud of myself.
Yes. Got me with that one.
Yeah. I used to live and breathe Care Bear. Can't tell me shit about nobody's Care Bears. Those are my
Care
niggas.
Bears were definitely her thing. Yeah. Oh God.
All righty. Now that we've had all that fun. Hope you had a good time. Did you have a good time?
I had a good time. Always have a good time. I don't know how to not have a good time on this show.
That's what I'm saying. If you're in the theater and you're getting loud with Kathleen and Nino, you're going to have a good time.
That's
just what it is.
Just bring the popcorn.
It's just what it is. You don't even need the popcorn. You'll be too busy laughing to eat. You'll choke if you have popcorn. Leave the popcorn alone. Just laugh.
All of that.
Right.
You already know. So again, man, the next episode. Don't we got some guests coming up soon?
We have some special guests coming. Find out when you listen.
Yes, guests coming up. And we're gonna come.
Make sure to tune in so you can know who they are. Uh-huh. And you can laugh with them and us and at us, maybe.
Yes.
Who knows?
You're gonna find all of our sources with this one.
The next movie that we'll be talking about, though, in the next episode will be The People Under the Stairs. So
my favorite Stephen King movies. No, I believe this is
Wes Craven.
Wes Craven. Stephen my man Ving Rhames. Young Ving Rhames, y'all.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Young Ving Rhames, who still looks exactly the same today. So I don't see
young old difference. Ain't nothing changed.
He's a vampire.
Ain't nothing changed.
He's another one of those actors I believe is a vampire. He has not aged.
I don't know about that. He's just black.
Danny Glover has been black and old since Lethal Weapon.
Morgan Freeman.
And Roots.
Morgan Freeman.
Yes, Morgan Freeman's freckles has had gray hair on him since he
gross.
The vampire. I believe there's an elite black vampire league where they keep them young or they just
white people might listen to this. Shut up.
White people, you have an elite league too. We know about y'all.
It's called white supremacy. Anyway. Yeah. Once again, can't wait to talk to you all in another couple of weeks. I'm sorry the last episode came out super late. I have been swamped with thesis things, and so it's difficult for me to write and find time to edit. It's just difficult. So that won't be happening again. Just know. Yeah, right now, it's just a difficult time. Come back next episode. We're going to have our special guest. We'll be talking about People Under the Stairs. In the meantime, in between time, you can talk to us, chat us up. If you like, what the fuck, why the episode mad late? you stupid ass bitch. Don't call me stupid ass bitch, because I will cuss you the fuck out. Anyway, you can come and say what you can say on our social media, on Instagram and Twitter. That's Loud It Pod, LOUDITTPOD. And you can talk to me on Kathleen _ Natea. That's Kathleen _ NAYTIA on Instagram and Twitter. And you can talk to CJ at Nino the Kid on Facebook and Instagram. That's N-E-E-N-O _.
No
underscore. Okay. N-E-E-N-O-D-A-K-Y-D-D on Facebook and Instagram.
Yes.
So come chat us up. Say what's up to us. And we'll be seeing you.
Definitely.
It's been a good time.
Remember, stay safe.
Bye.
Peace out.